Caleb Collier said,
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, we'll be joined by A.J. Nunez, Pastor A.J. Nunez. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier. With me, as always, Pastor Gabe Blomgren. Once again, your favorite far-right shock jocks and the most schizophrenic show you listen to on a daily basis.
The only podcast where your mama's going to be super uncomfortable because we're talking about the two things you're not supposed to talk about at the dinner table, faith and politics. And of course, we have Jesus right here, smack dab in the middle. You don't see him, but he's here. He's right here.
That's the referee.
Yes.
Hey, head on over to churchandstate.media and download these shows and share them with everyone. In fact, share them with your aunt that lives in California. You know,
yes,
the one. She drives the Subaru out back. She's got the colored hair.
She loves
all things Gavin Newsom.
She's got the sticker that says coexist.
Yeah. Share it with her because she's going to love us. I guarantee you.
Her cats will love it.
Everything that you want to say to her that you can't, we'll say for you. All right.
Lovingly. So those shows. Christ-like. Hey.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Anyway, also take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. And speaking of California, they don't want you to eat beef. No,
yes.
They want you to eat bugs, not the beef. And we at Church and State, we love red meat. So go on over to Grid Down Chow Down. This is storable beef. It's uncooked, has a 10 to 15 year shelf life. It is grass fed, grass finished, all organic. None of the weird vaccines they're pumping into the cattle nowadays. It is awesome stuff.
Go big or go home is what I always tell you because I'm all about that Costco economy, like making the dollar last. If you spend $750, sounds like a lot, but if you spend and buy the $750 package, you will see a savings that is comparable or better than what Amazon puts out through Mountain House. And of course, Mountain House has already been cooked, so you can't make spaghetti. All you have to do, Caleb said, it's freeze-dried. Blood's already in it. I know that's creepy, but it's technologically able. You just add water, then you have the ability to make any meal you want.
It's perfect. Use that promo code Church and State. We get some of that back. Also, donate specifically to us at Church and State. Just hit that donate button. This ensures that we stay on the American Christian Network because we'd like to. And last but not least, if you'd like to get hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. All right. Can I get a round of applause, Gabe? Because we are ready to bring on our special guest. This is actually a great friend of ours. Go ahead and silence that. All right. This is a great friend of ours, A.J. Nunez. We met him a number of years ago.
He spoke at a TCAB years ago.
Yes. And we both just immediately loved this man, loved his heart, his spirit. But he's his team, they're dedicated to passionate bringing changes to all people in all areas of society with power and love of Jesus Christ. He's been happily married for a long time, has one son, has a great church out there in Fresno, California, which you actually weren't too far away from in Tulare.
Yeah, not too far. Like I would describe the area you're at is in the green, the green zone, the safe
it's
zone.
It's the farming land, brother.
Yeah, you're still feeling the effects of, you know, Gavin Nerdsome or Insane Newsome. I don't know. What's his nickname? Gruesome Newsom. Gruesome Newsom.
Yeah,
we share your pain. We have a governor who's absolutely insane.
Governor sits when he pees.
Yeah, but it's a pleasure to have you, Pastor AJ.
God bless you, Caleb and Gabe. Honor to be with you guys once again. Yes, it was a while back at TCAP over there when you guys were dealing with what Planned Parenthood was trying to do and all that craziness. And, you know, that's right up my alley because, to be honest with you, I am a Christian American. I love Christianity. I love America. And I believe that, yes, even though we may be in some crazy times, let alone crazy states, it's ripe for revival. And yeah, so you were up in Tulare. Tulare is actually, I would say, 40 minutes south of Fresno, but it's still part of the San Joaquin Valley. A lot of agriculture, a lot of farming. Many different things in which our governor is wrongfully pouring the water into the wrong way. And we actually got out of a drought last year because of the rain. And then he decides to funnel all that water back to the ocean. Go figure that. And it's like, we were in a 10-year drought. And in one rain season last year, it wiped out the 10-year drought. Literally wiped it out.
Wow.
But they're all about the green energy and the hydroelectric power, but you know, you just let the water go back into the ocean. I do got to correct something you just said, though. I'm confused here because the mainstream media tells me that people, and I know I'm supposed to be colorblind, but I'm just assuming things with your last name and the color of your skin. You might be Hispanic. I don't know. I don't want to rush to judgments here, but we're told by the mainstream media that Hispanic people don't like America. That we're the oppressors, you know, that maybe you guys might be due for reparations. I'm confused, AJ. I don't understand.
Well, you know, I am Hispanic. I am an American Hispanic. I do believe that we need to actually start mobilizing in a way, because my wife is from Mexico and she went through the legality process of becoming a citizen under Donald J. Trump. And I'm just telling you, I'm an advocate for real immigration, the right way, the perfect way, because what we're seeing now is like a free-for-all. But there are a group of Hispanics that are pro-family, pro-God, pro-marriage between a husband and a wife, and pro-church. And there's a group of us, there's a remnant of us. But we want to try to help those that are from Latin countries that are freely coming in to do it the right way. If you're here the wrong way, and I know I'm speaking against some crazy things right now, but if you're here the wrong way, get in the back of the line.
This is going to send our leftist trolls into a tizzy. Yes. They're going to be spinning over this. They don't understand this at all.
It's sacrilege. Yeah. It's sacrilege. It's very unfortunate that when somebody of you know, any ethnic descent, whether it's Latin American or whether it's Hispanic, whether it's Samoan, anything, if you dare declare that you're a conservative or that you support Trump, wow. Okay, we no longer recognize you. It's
you're an Uncle Tom.
Yes,
is what they will, and they use that specifically for Black Americans. But it's the same thing.
No, correct. You know, it just becomes, you become a label. You know, and I really believe it's the perfect opportunity for all Christians of many different nations to begin to rise to the occasion and make their voice heard. And begin to sort of push the envelope, so to speak, especially right here where we're at. And this is what's interesting, where we're at in Fresno County. Tulare County is a different county, but Fresno County is predominantly the biggest county within Central Valley, 1.2 million people. Fresno during the pandemic was actually the number two city in the nation with the economy arising.
Wow.
Well, honest to God, the number two city in the nation during the pandemic, where our economy increased, crime decreased, homelessness decreased, all because we put initiatives together through our mayor, through the city planning and all this stuff. And numbers by far were off the Richter scale.
Did you guys keep a lot of businesses open? Is that what you're saying during the pandemic?
We did the best we could. Yes, there were also some churches that stayed open. Mine was one of them. And so were a number of my other friends. And our sheriff at the time was Margaret Mims, a woman, was the leading Fresno County sheriff for many years, way before I even knew what Christianity was. She was already the sheriff. But she was like, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm not going to do nothing to the churches. And we got to stay open.
Wow. I see. Yeah. And I would fare to guess, did your church grow or did it shrink?
The finances grew and the attendance grew.
Yeah. See, courage is contagious. All that it, honestly, we're looking for all these marketing ploys, whether it's, you know, I'm all down for, you know, I'm a worship leader, so I don't mind when you have some rockin' music. But of course, we want to, you know, we want to market everything. We want to have the perfect logo. We want to have the perfect intro to the service, and then, you know, some smoke and maybe a couple pallets on the wall. You know, we got to market it just right. When all that we really need is two things: Jesus Christ, His presence, His actual legitimate presence in your service, and then obviously a whole bunch of courage. It's pretty simple.
That's it. That's the antidote. I mean, that is, I mean,
I'm gonna have one amendment to that, though.
What?
The holy word of God.
Oh, come on. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, when you got spirit and truth, and I mean, I look at Caleb here. Okay, Caleb, when I see, of course, his name's biblical, but Caleb was a man of a different spirit. Literally, that's what the Bible says. He was a man with a different spirit, and him and Joshua invade this craziness and said, we are well able to overcome them. These giants are bred for us. You know, we got to have that same type of courage nowadays in what we are facing within our states of California, Washington, and Oregon. These three states can actually begin to release revival and literally transform the nation of America. Let it start from the West Coast. It might as well be us. A lot of people that have been trying to leave California, I'm like, you're going to miss revival.
Yes.
You're going to miss revival.
Don't leave for Tennessee. There's no real enemy in Tennessee. The enemy is here, and we need to fight him, stand and face him. It'd be like day 39, David says, you know what? On second thought, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Idaho. There is no Goliath in Idaho. It's safe here.
That's crazy you say that, because someone just asked if I would plant a church in Idaho.
Ooh, sorry, man.
And I this is what's even crazier. I just got asked to see if I can plant a church in Oregon. Oh, and I was like, all right, now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I believe California, Oregon, and Washington are on the verge of revival, are on the verge of it. We've been contending. We've been praying, fasting, weeping, crying, laughing our way through some stuff, crying our way through some stuff. But God takes all of that and said, watch what I'm about to do with the remnant of people.
Come on.
On the Pacific Northwest with the remnant of people in California. You know, I say this, you know, I'm not trying to be funny or mean or arrogant or anything, but our governors in our three states on the West Coast, man, they just need to open up their eyes, to be honest with you. They're like the three blind mice. Yes, the church is praying for them. Yes, we're praying that they would get saved. Yes, we're praying that they would get make wise decisions. But this is how I uncovered. It was during the pandemic, and our governor was, Governor Newsom was giving his speech. And he starts name dropping about the governor of Washington and the governor of Oregon.
Right. Why would you, as the governor of a certain state, talk about other states? Very, very.
And instantaneously, Gabe and Caleb, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, they're working together. And I'm like, ooh, the three musketeers are now becoming the three blind mice. I'm like, all right, what do I got to do? And he says, you know, it's got to be broken. It's got to be broken. The church needs to unify in California, Oregon, and Washington and begin to be the remnant on the West Coast to begin to push forward in what God wants.
I love that. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, AJ, but I work for TPUSA Faith. And so my job is to go into churches and to try to get them to engage civically to address the moral issues that we currently see in the country. And I joke that I professionally get kicked out of churches because a lot of churches just don't want to hear that message. But if we unite and stop that infighting over really secondary issues, you know, I don't care if you're a Baptist or a Pentecostal, do we worship the same God? Okay, then let's stop squabbling over cessationism versus, you know, continuationism. That's a secondary issue. Let's unite and show the world, really, that Christianity has power.
It has 100% power of the Holy Spirit backing it. When we look at Christianity, Mario Murillo makes some very powerful, powerful one-liners. And he said, Christianity will never die, but America without Christianity will. And when he made that statement, it shocked me to the core of my being, because it's true. The backing of the Holy Spirit upon Christianity is literally the governor of the kingdom. And I say this to our church at Covenant Worship Center a lot, is if the Holy Spirit was to ever leave the planet, we are done.
Yeah.
It's over. It's going to be crazy. And I agree, you know, the church has a prophetic spirit about it. And you know, Caleb shared about doing these initiatives and getting people to be vocal and being a voice in these areas of social justice and these areas that need to be on the forefront, that what I would call holding the line, so to speak, within Christianity in America, is that we need to carry that same prophetic spirit into those empires.
Amen.
They're not kingdoms, they're empires. And the kingdom of God will always overthrow the empire every single time. And if we look at it biblically, guys, Moses, one man, dismantles Egypt, dismantles them. Him and Aaron dismantle Egypt with miracle signs and wonders, dismantle them. And then if we speed forward into another biblical context, then another empire that rises upon the scene is Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. And who dismantles them? Daniel. So now we got Moses and Daniel dismantling empires. Okay, Jesus comes on the scene, and they try to, the best thing that religion ever did was crucify our Lord. That was the best thing they ever did. Because now he just multiplied himself during the resurrection into a bunch of people. So you can't stop Christianity.
No, and continuing on with that thought process, I mean, it was really Paul's ministry. It took a little bit longer, but, you know, he destroyed the empire of Rome, right, with the worship of all of their false gods and everything.
You took exactly what I've taught in my church is the three men that dismantled empires in biblical context: Moses in Egypt, Daniel and Babylon, and Paul in Rome. Now, the end time man-child company, which is who we are as believers, as Christian, God-fearing men and women of God, let alone we are American. Jesus just didn't die for America. He died for the whole world. But the man-child that the book of Revelation talks about is going to be the overcoming company.
Let me steer something, because I think we have an opportunity to really address how we get through this situation. And I'm going to preface it by saying this about you. A lot of people might not know this. You are, not were, a Timothy to Mario Murillo. And the reason you bring him up is because you sat under his ministry and were traveling with him on a regular basis. Mario Murillo was very key influential person in my mom's coming to Christ Jesus. She actually got to hear him, and she was right there, and then ended up going to a concert and getting saved. But she said Mario Murillo was the last person actually she heard, and it pushed her over the edge when she finally made that declaration publicly. So, but I say this, and I applaud you for being a good Timothy. We are in this situation where there is this massive umbrella of prophetic voices. And you just said, you know, that word prophecy, and, you know, some people, it is, there's just so many voices. I'm thinking of some people have sensory overwhelming, you know, disorder. Like there's people who, you know, they go into a room and if they hear a bunch of stuff, it just overwhelms them. We have so many prophets now, and some of them are good friends of ours, Amanda Grace, and we have Julie Green, and I still even listen to Kim Clement prophecies. But it's like we got into this thing where it became prophecy addiction. And mm-hmm. we all became disappointed. You know, Hank Kuhneman makes a prophecy that, you know, Trump is going to be back in office. And then we see, you know, even our good friend from His Glory, you know, Dave Scarlett, believed that Trump was going to be back in office months ago. And these things don't come to fruition. How do we as Christians stay in the fight? Because I know your hero, Mario, has pushed back a little bit about this overwhelming prophecy kind of disorder, but he hasn't thrown the baby out with the bathwater. So kind of like as one of his spiritual sons, help us. How do we do this thing called have hope, but then not go out of line?
Well, the one thing that Mario would always share with a group of us was there is the realness of the prophetic, but it also complements the word. The word in itself is very prophetic. It always has. Imagine all the prophecies that have come to pass already in through the word of God, and yet the ones that still haven't come to pass yet, that will be fulfilled. And this is where we have probably seen the great, probably immaturity within the prophetic, is that are we going to use prophecy just to build up the body of Christ only, which has become many years worth of speaking? You only see prophetic words speaking to Christians in the areas of them. Oh, you're going to be a great person who's going to stand behind the pulpit. And, you know, we're telling them about ministry when really the propheticness was to bring people to repentance. It was to bring nations to repentance. It was to bring the people to repentance. Mm-hmm. So that word repentance is so frowned upon, and it's almost deemed religious. Like, oh, you're just being a religious guy. Well, you know, just because God may have brought me out of some really sinful stuff is not a great testimony. A great testimony is how God has kept me all these years from going back.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, somebody that was raised in church to me is a more powerful testimony than somebody that came out of just great sin. You know what I mean? To me, that somebody has stuck it out, been in church their whole life, I applaud that as a great testimony. And yet we deem that as religious. So yeah, there was such a watered downness of the prophetic that I believe it started tickling, itching ears. Now everybody became a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, AJ, what you just said, it's been a really, really hot day, and you just poured a cup of cool water on my head, because I will be honest with you, and I'm pretty sure the audience knows this already, but prophecy makes me uncomfortable because of what you just described. Because everybody is delving into it. Everybody wants to hear the newest prophecy. And like you just said, so oftentimes this prophecy, it just tickles your ear. You're going to do great things. You know, God has got financial stability around the corner for you. And when I examine the Bible, because that's really what I love to study, you know, my issue personally isn't the head stuff. It's more of the heart stuff. I like that study. And so I look at the prophecies that are described in the Old Testament, and it's directed at nations, and it's always a callback to repentance. Whoever the prophet was, Jonah, you know, it doesn't matter. It's always turn back from your evil ways, or God's going to do this. He's going to bring this judgment upon you. And sometimes they listened, and sometimes they didn't. And so saying what you said is that cup of cool water for me. So I appreciate it very much.
Well, because if we look at prophets in the Old Testament, they were smashing nations. They were bringing nations to their knees. You know, Gabe was talking about how his mother got saved during the Jesus movement through Mario's preaching. You know, I barely came into Mario's life maybe 6 or 7 years ago, but maybe even before that, because he came and preached at my church before I even was asked to work with him, you know, by him. And I listened to some of Mario's old stuff. He is still preaching the same message that he has not deviated from since the Jesus movement.
Yeah.
And this is why the impact that he's having on such a younger generation. I just sent Pastor Gabe, you know, one of the Tent Crusades photos that of what's happening in these Tent Crusades. And here I am already a pastor, and this photo is going to speak volumes, you know, is because just like he said his mom got saved during Mario Murillo's preaching, my son got saved at the age of 9 in a tent crusade and Mario Murillo was preaching. A 9-year-old right there in Hanford, California, right outside Tulare. It's when Mario started hitting up and down California. Boom, 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 boom. Just like a sledgehammer. And I'll be honest with you, now the momentum is happening. But back then, it was scarce. There was not a lot of churches in support of tent crusades. But now it's like changing. So if Pastor Gabe's mom can get saved and my 9-year-old son can get saved, There he is right there. Young Josiah Nunez receives Jesus Christ in the tent. All You Need to Know by Mario Murillo. Exactly.
That's beautiful.
That was in Hanford. I was, and here I was working at the time for Mario and there, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, where'd my son go?
Yeah.
Did somebody kidnap him? You know what I mean? I'm thinking, did somebody hawk my son and like he's going to be missing for? And I'm
he's busy
out
in the temple spending time with his father. He's going exactly about his father's so business.
There was a parting of a Red Sea, and as soon as I seen that, I fell to my knees, and I just started weeping. And I snapshot that picture, and I told Mario what happened. He goes, "Oh, I'm going to write about it. I'm going to write about that." And sure enough, he did. So that's where we're at. The gospel and Christianity will never be stopped in America.
Here's the swing of that. Because so everything that you just said, I'm 100% amening. But here's the but. So many people will use the gospel itself as an excuse to not be vocal politically. And that's another thing that Mario does not do. He's never watered down the gospel, but this man, you would expect him for a guy who's been so synonymous with keeping intact with the gospel message. The one thing, believe in Christ that you shall be saved, you know, just being steady about the gospel. He has, there's some churches, you know, God bless J.D. Greer. He's brought a lot of people into his church because of Christ and because of the gospel, but this guy will not say a word about the election, won't say anything. You know, a lot of guys will not talk about the political realm. Talk about why. Why do you think, give us some inside game baseball when you were hanging around Mario. Was he always political? You know, was he wired to be able to do this kind of stuff? Because he's so vocal about politics.
Well, you know, there's a difference what people think about him, because some people will sway that he is just a political voice, and he's not.
So not true.
His heart is very prophetic, and he loves America. You got to remember, we had Reinhard Bunke, we had Billy Graham, okay, and yes, they were doing crusades in foreign countries, which people in all of the nations were getting saved, but Mario has always focused on the heart of America, that America is his harvest field. Because, and this is the thing, a lot of people would think that he's prophetic, but when you know the man personally, he weeps and he cries out to God for revival, for an outpouring. I mean, he's one of the last eye-living witnesses of the Jesus Revolution. Wow. When he was 19, he gets saved when he's 15 years old in the hardest areas of the Bay Area.
Pastor AJ, I'm gonna pause you for 1 second. We're gonna continue the rest of this. We're going to dismiss and thank you so much, ACN listeners on terrestrial radio. You've been listening to AJ Nunez, Pastor, and Timothy to Mario Murillo. We're gonna continue this for those of you who want to join us on Facebook.com. Our handle is at Church and State 1776. You can also find us at rumble.com at Church and State 1776.
Or you can go to churchandstate.media. Church and State is brought to you in part by Patriot Church.
I'm Pastor Gabe. A calm does not suit me.
I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm. All right. And we are continuing on with the interview here. Sorry to interrupt you, AJ. You were just getting started with Mario Murillo at 15 years old.
Mario got saved at 15 years old in one of the hardest areas of the Bay Area. And then at 19, he's preaching over there in Berkeley. Okay, you got to remember, he was anointed for what he does now. You know, and at that time, he was confronting Marxism, atheism, all of these things. And by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God that he studied and the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of him, They couldn't refute him. They couldn't refute. They would literally crumble.
Wow.
And give their lives. And then God would use them for words of knowledge. You know what I mean? And that's how his ministry started, was on the hardest area of California. And that's why he doesn't back down. He's got a heart of gold, loves the Lord, but he's got a backbone. And he will challenge the prophetic movement when it starts veering off without truth, because we've said it this way, not Mario, but I've said it this way. if it's so much spirit and no truth, you're going to blow up. But if it's all truth and no spirit, you're going to dry up. But if it's spirit and truth, you will grow up. So that's the one thing that we've always tried to keep in the plumb line, is spirit and truth work together.
That is so good. That is so good, man. That is your him and I, we tenure each other because this guy, like, I am all about if I was left alone without, you know,
supervision.
Complete supervision, I would blow up because my passion is for the presence of the Lord. I chase his presence. I'm like Mary. I want to anoint his feet with oil in my hair. This dude, he's like, okay, we need to make dinner here. We need to actually read the word of God. So this dude, if he was left to himself, he would dry up. So it's like, we got to find that happy medium. Like we are in Jesus' name, but this is just kind of hilarious as this is going on here right now.
Maybe that's why we're best friends.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are the dynamic duo, to be honest with you.
Well, in that case, I'm Batman. He's Robin.
Well, you guys definitely are running something in the Batcave over there. When I was first time, after you get done, you know, doing TCAP, you know, because Mario was the one that was supposed to go do TCAP. And then he says, AJ, you go, you know, and I told him, I go, I got to run this by you, man, you know. Because, you know, the one thing that I've developed my life on is what Paul said to the Corinthian church. He says, you know, Corinthian church, you have 10,000 teachers in Christ, but not many fathers. Mm. So Mario is like my father of evangelism to me. And that's how I look up to him. Like when I'm having one of those months where it seems like ain't nothing moving, especially when it seems like there's no growth or anything, I redig the wells of my fathers. I listen to those that are fathers and mentors into my life. Like when I was in Washington just a few weeks ago at a Church Awakening event over there in Edmonds, I jumped on the phone with Mario, and we were talking about different outreaches and where he wants to bring the tent. So it's amazing how these fathers will still pour into your life, even though you're not necessarily on the clock like you used to be. You know, but that's what makes relationships so unique, that even though I am not working with Mario as full time as I used to, we still have that relationship. He still calls me son. You know what I mean? And it's just one of those relationship things that a lot of people would only, you know, if they only see Mario as a political person, they don't really know him. And if they only see him as a preacher, they don't really know him. But because he got the best of both worlds working on the inside of him, he definitely reads a lot. And his heart has not changed for America. He's rooting on the church. And yeah, sometimes he'll scold the church from an evangelistic standpoint. But he says, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. I'm an evangelist.
Wow.
And he sticks to that. So...
He brought into my life, I can't remember what show I was on or listening to. Caleb and I have been listening to podcasts for a very long time before we started one. I was listening to him, I believe, on Hagman and Hagman, and he brought up the subject of a book called The Fourth Turning. This book talks about, historically, all these cycles, all the way back to the beginning of recorded time, whether it's the Romans or the Persians, or there's this term called the seculum. And it literally represents, as Jesus said, not one of you will blah, blah, blah until this generation passes away. And that word generation is a term of about 80 to 100 years. And every single generation has four different branches. And just so you know, the baby boomers were one of those branches in their generation. And then before them, the greatest generation that ever lived, those who fought in the war, those guys were a part of. So there's four of these guys in every generation. And Mario said that right now, and this was a decade ago, he goes, right now we are in the process of a fourth turning. similar. And he said the last major fourth turning we were in was during the Azusa Street Jesus Revolution. He said that right there, God held his hand back from the proverbial smack to the bottom of the United States and worldwide. And because everyone gravitated back towards Jesus Christ, Jesus is on the cover of Time Magazine. Those of you who've seen Jesus Revolution, that's no joke. One of the greatest movements ever that mankind has ever seen, right there in California's shores, right there at Pirate's Cove. Yeah. That right there, Mario said, held back a major destruction that was headed far away. And he said, we are back there again. We're coming close to that 80-year mark, you know, to where we are finding ourselves in the crosshairs of that moment where you have to decide, do you want to go back into the dark ages? Because you just said it. America isn't, you know, going to go on if she's not connected to God. What were your exact words a minute ago as far as like,
Christianity will never die, but America will die without Christianity.
That's exactly what Mario was getting across. I read that book. I've read that book like 5 times now, and I'm kind of just doing this and I'm looking at my clock like, Lord, you're giving us more time, because we technically ran out of time, but somehow he's staved off miraculously. I think we're getting into that 12 o'clock. It's straight up midnight.
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at, I've been reading a number of books on this exact subject, is we're slowly transitioning into a post-Christian nation, and we're fighting it, obviously, but our leadership is trying to push that agenda, and woe to the nation that was at one point Christian and now became a post-Christian nation. We were talking to Artur Pawlowski about this, but I was equating the biblical reference with the demon that is driven out, and it goes into the dry place. And it decides it doesn't like that desert, and so it comes back, and it finds the household in order. It's been swept clean, but there's nothing dwelling in it, so the Holy Spirit hasn't come into that individual. And so it goes and it finds 7 other demons that are more wicked and brings it back, right? Well, if you look at that and you apply that to a nation, I see that potential for the United States, that we will get that much worse if we actually allow ourselves to move into this post-Christian nation.
I totally agree. You know, because if we look at revival, guys, just history revival from the first Great Awakening, second Great Awakening, okay. And we look at those nations where those pioneers that came from England, the UK, to come over here. Look where the UK is at now. It is literally, you wouldn't even think revival broke out over there. And it's like, we're seeing all this craziness in the UK, and America better wake up. The reason why is because all of this, America has always been a land of revival. Just like UK, the Welsh revival, all these, the Hebrides revival, all these things are now in our era. When we look back at it, it's like, there's no way a revival started there. Look at that. I mean, they're literally in the UK. It's becoming more and more worse, as in, did Christianity even really start there? You know, but on to that point, this is where I believe what will take place in America. Okay. You heard me say earlier about the immigration of what's coming on in America. Okay. We can't throw out the baby and the bathwater. It's just,
I know where you're going with this. I can smell where you're going.
Because we are seeing an influx of nations coming to America. America has always sent missionaries to foreign countries to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christianity was established in foreign countries. The more that they try to stop Christianity in foreign countries, they're going to come to America, because Christianity is going to be still one of the strongest relationships to a holy God, that if we can't go there no more, God's going to bring them here. And the next thing we're going to do is launch them back out to their nations so that they can go and begin to be the Billy Grahams of their nation, to be the Mario Murillo of their nation, to go, that they just don't have to camp here. They get to go back with the power of the Holy Spirit. Like what Caleb said, they got cleansed, but nothing came in yet. So God is bringing, and this is where the American church better wake up, is because these immigrants that are coming are going to need to encounter Jesus.
Come on, this is good. So
they're going to need to encounter Jesus.
I'm seeing they've weaponized immigration, and you're saying making the weapon come back on them that's already been weaponized.
Exactly. And see, the fake stream media and the fake news will try to do all these things. Let me put it to you this way, guys. I came out of organized crime. Do you think we're afraid about the MS-13 and all these guys that are coming from foreign countries? No. Because if God saved us in America, they're coming to a hotbed. I got guys in our church that came out of the same background as me. We're ready to go to the Chopped over.
Oh, we hit a little bit of a glitch, but what I like about what you're saying there, and I'm hoping we get your audio back there, is it's almost a situation where, you know, speaking to these immigrants, you don't understand. I'm not trapped in here with you. You're trapped in here with me.
Thank you.
And we got the Savior on our side, so we're going to win this one.
Exactly. So the church could be in prime position to harvest.
Come on.
Cast the net on the right side.
Thank you, Jesus.
Cast the net on the right side. Win one family. We just found out just last week a bus of Venezuelans came to Fresno, California via El Paso. And I get on the horn with one of my good friends who's deputy chief of staff to the mayor. I said, what's going on here? How can the church help? He says, this is a federal thing and we had to release it to the right organizations. And then I ended up connecting with the pastor who knows where these immigrants are at. So they don't need food and they don't need clothes. Our government is giving them EBT cards.
Wow.
Okay. And this is what's crazy. When my wife went through the real immigration process, our immigration lawyer says, whatever you do, don't get on food stamps. Because they want to know that your sponsor, which is your husband, can provide for you. And she never did. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we went through the immigration process effectively. So now that we see this breakdown in immigration process politically, now the church is going to have to do its part by leading them to Jesus and also partnering with the immigration organizations and say, let's get this thing done the right way. You know, guys, I love church and state. I love what you guys are doing because a lot of people don't realize how America was really founded. You know, the church, I can cry over this. The church was the sovereign entity of God in America. That the church was the first ones that built the first hospitals, built the first banks, built the first businesses on the face of the planet. And then an atheist comes in and wants to create a government. I mean, we got to go back to what the church is really meant to be. And it funded America way before we see where we're at right now. And this is why I think what we got to be vocal on is that understanding, hey, the church is still in prime position.
We certainly are. I mean, the founding fathers understood this. They knew this. They modeled our entire system of government off of the Bible. And they quoted the Bible more than any other writings, you know, more than Smith, more than Locke. And John Adams, you know, famously said that our Constitution is made for a moral and religious people. If we see the cracks in the system, if we see that this isn't working, and the vast majority of us as Americans are like, stop, we need to stop this. We need to right this ship. Things are not going the right direction. Return to morality, return to religion. That's your solution right there. That's truly how you make America great again.
And using the enemy's plans against him, I literally see, just like the word says, hey, pray for your enemy. It's like heaping coals upon his head. Love your enemy. And it right now, These immigrants are not our enemy. We have to establish that. These immigrants are not our enemy. And you know what? There's a spirit right now that's coming in. And I'm sorry, sometimes Charlie Kirk, sometimes Candace Owens, sometimes, you know, Daily Wire. These guys are trying to make an enemy of these immigrants. And I get it. It's completely egregious. It's part of the enemy's plan. But we have to take a bigger position and realize that God is the God of the universe. And I'm liking what you're saying. Take the enemy's weapon and use it against him. So I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners, because I think, you know, we are not racists on this show, but I think sometimes we are overwhelmed by, you know, just the sheer number of what we hear. Literally, like, the state of New Hampshire has come in 6 million people supposedly in the last, you know, 6 to 8 months, 6 million people. That's heavy. But when you look at it through the lens of, the harvest field, we don't have to go get. Jesus is bringing the harvest to us. Now, that's a different perspective. That's using the enemy's plans against them. And I thank you for being revolutionary in your thought process and bringing that to our listeners.
No, that's my heart, you know. And, you know, if we look back now, I got a 13-year-old son. You guys saw the picture of him earlier. He was 9 there, you know. And right now, the demographics or even the age bracket of my church is fairly young, okay. You got to remember, and the listeners got to remember, we're seeing this younger generation that is battling with some horrendous issues greater than what we battled with when we were their age, you know. But you got to understand, where we were at as a nation at that time in the 80s was different. Under the Ronald Reagan administration was a phenomenal thing. You know, we didn't worry about nothing. We had no fears.
The 80s
and we were not pounding our hands on our chest saying America, you know what I mean? We were not prideful. Mm-hmm. We were actually humble. But now that we're older and I look back at the way I grew up, the way, you know, you guys grew up, you guys remember, we were out throwing rocks, man. We were not worried about. We were playing marbles, you know what I mean? We were just having fun.
I had a Nash skateboard.
We were bicycling around the neighborhood. Our mom didn't know where we were. We just had to be home by dark, right? Like, that's how we grew up.
Home by dark.
Exactly. And then, you know, food was ready. And you sat down at the table as a family and ate. Now we look at it from this generation, okay, because we were talking about baby boomers. If we look back now, just even to the kids that were born in the year 2000, okay, just the kids in the year 2000 to present, 24 years goes by. Now those ones that were born in 2000 are now 24 years old, okay? What have they seen? What have they really looked at that's going on in America, let alone the whole world? You know, now we know why they're battling depression.
The world's been at war. Since 2001, they've never known in their entire lifetime a world without war.
Exactly. So now we may think that they're disengaging with us. No, they're just processing things differently than the way we processed it. And, you know, they've seen 9/11. Okay. They've seen all this socialism come in. They've seen all this Marxism, all these events rising up, mass shootings. Okay, it's common to them now. It's like, oh, and to us, we're like,
yeah, this is their normal.
Yeah, you know what? But that generation, I'd like to say it this way, is that generation was born in the storm for the storm. They have a heart for God. And when they encounter the truth and the spirit, if you look at Generation Z, Millennials, and Alpha, if you were to put them all together, they have more money and more influence than the baby boomers and Generation X combined. They have more influence. And they have more people following them. But now there's a remnant of them that are radically getting saved.
Come on.
And they're like, no, we want truth. We want to change the world. Because they've seen what's happening, and, you know, they don't, in their school system, besides Christian schools, thank God for Christian schools, you know, the church helped build Christian schools, you know, and they keep the biblical values true.
It's So you good.
Know, and they teach world history and American history. True.
Well, and let me just say this as well, because it's going to be up to those generations that you just described, the millennials, the Gen Z, the Generation Alpha. All right. It's going to be up to them whether or not the next generation is known as Generation Beta or Generation Bravo.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's going to be them to influence those ones that are coming, because they're growing up very fast.
It's a very unique situation too, because, you know, Alex Jones, I don't listen to him very often, but I found out his son, who's probably, I think by now, at the time he was about 12, 13 years old. He said all the kids in his school were just madly in love with Charlie Kirk and madly in love with anything conservative. And they realized, a lot of those 13-year-olds realized, hey, you know what? These liberal girls who are, you know, not wearing makeup and cutting their body parts off and coloring their purple hair and doing this weird stuff, they're not as attractive as conservative girls. And the conservative movement is actually exploding now to an age group that is the Gen Zers. And you'll see all over TikTok. We're actually starting to put stuff on TikTok. Why? Because these guys actually want conservative values. You know, they're drawn to it. So you're right on the money. They have the opportunity to turn this ship around.
They are, I say it this way, they are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of now. And they still need fathers like Caleb, Gabe, myself, and others that are going to pour into their lives and speak into their lives, that they will hold the Judeo-Christian values of America dear to their heart, that they are not going to be afraid to be unleashed and be very vocal, because a lot of them have been vocal about liberalism and all this craziness, but they're on the verge of getting saved. That it's almost like someone that was dancing with Satan their whole life, now all of a sudden they're dancing with Jesus, and you can't stop them. You can't shut them up.
So true.
They're going to be the next.
It's blind Bartimaeus. Voices. You can't keep them quiet.
Exactly. And people are going to know, you guys have been with Jesus.
Amen. Well, we don't want to keep you forever. Give us one last thought. And then I also want us to highlight Covenant Worship Center. If you live in Fresno, the Fresno area, please check out this website that we have on the screen right now. Please join you, Pastor AJ, on his Sunday morning service. Do you have a midweek service, or is it a Sunday morning?
We do also do a Tuesday night intercession. We've been doing Tuesday night corporate intercession for the last 16 years, every Tuesday.
Wow.
And then every Thursday, we have our midweek Bible study. And then, of course, men's ministries every Monday night, women's ministries on Friday night. And we just love Jesus, man. We just love Jesus. So
I love it. It sounds like a busy church, as they all should be.
Absolutely. We got to get this guy to come down to your church and get some Turning Point events going on, because it sounds like you guys are a very politically astute church. And this guy,
I'm going to follow up with that, actually. Yeah, so, I already had that thought in my head.
Good.
So, you know, my closing thoughts is just basically, you know, what you guys are doing here, this is just the beginning, because you guys have been pioneering in this for a very long time. But it's the cover's about to be removed, actually. That's what I'm feeling, is that God's going to put you guys in some places that you never thought you guys can go into.
Well, we received that.
Not because you guys had to kick the door in, but it's more like walking through, you remember like walking through a grocery store back in the day, someone would open the door for you. Now you don't need to. It's just like motion sensors of just open. That's how I see you, both of you guys. Just the presence of Jesus on your guys' lives is going to open doors, but it's going to be your guys' character that's going to keep you in the room, and the room is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what you guys are doing, man, I'm honored to be back here again with you. I would love to do it again. I usually don't say that, but I just feel a kindredness with what you guys are doing. And we'll continue to intercede for California, for Washington.
Amen.
And we both got to intercede for Oregon. You know, this is our coast. This is our coast, you know, and revival is going to break out. But like you said earlier, Gabe and Caleb, was, you know, revival, what does it look like? It's because we live here.
That's right.
And that's what it looks like. It's because we live here. America will have another great awakening. But I honestly believe, and I'm not being biased and I'm not being egotistical, if we were to lay down the tabernacle of Moses across America, the outer court is in the East Coast. And the most holy place is on the West Coast.
Woo.
Because there's gold in our areas here. So think about it. We are going to come out from that most holy place perspective, and we're going to revolutionize America, because the multitudes are on the outside looking to see what's going on the inside. So that's my closing thoughts about America. Revival is going to break out, but it's going to break out from the most holy place perspective. Like, I'm not racist. I'm gracist.
Come on.
I believe in grace.
I like that.
You know, I'm not a racist. I'm gracist. There's enough grace and enough mercy that mercy becomes our currency for America, but grace becomes the antidote for revival.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I love you guys. I love you, Caleb. I love you, Gabe. Thank you so much for this time.
Well, we love you too, sir. As you said, it was a kindred spirit immediately as soon as we met you, that Jonathan type, you know, Jonathan David type of situation there. And so, yeah, we'll definitely have you on again. Love having you on and love hearing your word and your vision for America. So God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Church of State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church.
I'm Pastor Gabe. A calm does not suit me.
I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTATE. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2. MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry. Your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a two-for-one there. You know you've wanted a good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CHURCHANDSTATE.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State. The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Synapse is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe even a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsynapse.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsynapse.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together, and they're all doing a gold-backed currency.
the United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver, because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to bh-pn.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to bh-pn.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Hello, everybody. It's an honor to be with you.